All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, and I didn't give this to them in the back because I really today I really want it more like a home chat. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. If you got your Bible app, you can open that up. Or if you've got the church app, you can open up the Bible from that. I didn't put notes or anything in there because it really is not. It's not going to be like a sermon. Okay. This is going to be like we're just chatting. Is that all right? It's okay? It's all right? It's good? Okay. All right. Just making sure. I feel secure with Billy up here beside me. Would you take somebody down for me if I needed you to? I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has just come out of the wilderness temptation. And he's been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he is gone to Galilee. Now, has anybody in the room ever been to Galilee? Wave at me. Anybody? One? Two? Couple people? Three? Been to Galilee? So, I read the scripture up until last year when I went to Israel for the first time. I read the scripture through my mindset, right? Through what I could imagine about the stories. And so I'm from the East Coast originally, right? We came out to Oklahoma 7 years ago, and I came off of the East Coast. I was born and raised on the coast. Like, the beach was a normal part of life. I had friends that they would wake up in the morning, throw a wetsuit on in the dead of winter, go to the beach, surf for an hour or two, and then come to school, right? It was normal. Okay, so when I started reading the scripture, through the lens of my experience. So when it said the Sea of Galilee, I'm thinking, I was raised right at Myrtle Beach. I'm thinking Myrtle Beach, waves rolling in, you know, ocean, salt water. You know, I'm like, I'm surfers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking that. Then I get to Israel and I realized it's a lake. Now, see, the thing is, I went to Bible college, so I knew that mentally. But I still read it through the lens of my own experience. And so even though I knew mentally, I had looked on maps of Israel. I had to do that for school, had to learn areas, and I'd looked on maps. I knew that it was the size of a lake, but it keeps calling it sea. So I looked at it through the lens. And so Jesus is walking around the lake of Galilee, right? He is headquartered in a little town called Capernaum, right? And he's kind of spreading out from Capernaum, and he's going all around the Sea of Galilee, or the lake there. And he's walking up and down the shores, and he's doing different things. And as he's walking, he's just come out of the wilderness experience. He's been tempted by the devil. He's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And now he's starting his ministry all along the shores of Galilee. And it says in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Everybody say fishermen. Fishermen. They were fishermen. "And he said to them, 'Follow me and I will make you fishers of men.'" Everybody say fishers of men. Fishermen. "So he took some fishermen and made them fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and they followed, and their father, and they followed him." So as I'm thinking about the launch of our brand new series, All In. Now, I do want to do a little caveat here. So I'm on social media yesterday, and a mega church in our nation is posting their upcoming sermon series that they're starting today with their nationally televised pastor. And do you know what his sermon series was called? All In. Now, see, you have to understand, I like branding too. So you know, if you'll notice, Harvest Church is red and white, and All In is red and white. Do you know what colors he was using? Red and white. I'm scrolling through, and I follow this guy on social media, and I'm scrolling through, and I see this thing, and I went, "You got to be kidding." And Stephanie went, "What?" And I went, she said, "Why are you stealing John Gray's stuff?" I said, "He's stealing my stuff. I had this plan." Right? So we're starting this all-in series, right? We're just kind of, we're talking about being all in. The issue, I think, many times in our nation, especially when it comes to religion, when it comes to church, when it comes to people's faith, is we're so used to compartmentalizing our lives, and we do, you know, we're the sports parent over here, and we're the disciplinarian over here, and we're the mom or dad over here, you know, the loving mom and dad at home over here, and we're the provider over here, and we're the comforter over here, and we're all of these different things, and we're good at compartmentalizing, and I can take off my disciplinarian hat and I can put on my loving dad hat, right? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Oh, holy, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm all in one, right? Okay, Jesus. And so, you know, like we're so good at compartmentalizing our lives, and the issue with that is we do it with our faith as well. Because our faith becomes something that we show up on Sunday to participate in, and then we go out and appease our conscience, and then we go out and it really doesn't affect anything else we do all week. But I believe that God in this day and in this culture and in this time, He's calling His people not to be half in or on the fence, but He wants us all there. He wants us all in. Everybody shout all in. And so I'm thinking about starting this series and really hating on John Gray for stealing my idea. I'm just kidding. I'm not hating on John Gray. I pray blessings on his series, but I'm going to preach it better. In Jesus' name. And I'm just kidding. That was a joke. For those of you who don't know, that's a joke, right? And I probably won't preach it. That mug can preach. Anyway, and so I completely lost my train of thought. Y'all have distracted me. And so I'm thinking about this whole idea of going all in, and I can't help but think about Jesus' original call to Peter and to John and to James there on the shore of Galilee. Because these guys are just hanging out. They were fishermen, right? They had been raised fishermen. They were born into fishing families. They knew that from a very early age on. They had been trained. They had been trained what to do, what not to do, when to go out on the water, when not to go out on the water, what the skies should look like so that when they needed to come back in, they could get back in time. I mean, they had been trained on all of it. This is what they were born for. And up walks Jesus. And they look over at Him. And He gives them a masterful sales pitch. Have you ever had like a rainbow vacuum salesman ever come to your house? Right? Like, you could be broke as a joke, can't rub two quarters together, and next thing you know, you have bought a $3,000 vacuum cleaner. You're like, "I don't have a clue how I'm going to pay for it, but dude, I can take the cushion on my couch and suck it up to nothing." Right? All because of a sales pitch, right? Jesus didn't give him a sales pitch. Jesus' sales pitch was, as He was walking by, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me." And I started thinking about that. He's saying, in essence, He's looking at them and He's going, "Hey guys, I want you to leave what you are doing. I want you to leave what you've been trained for. I want you to walk away from your plans. I want you to abandon your hopes and dreams in pursuit of my dream, in pursuit of my plan, in pursuit of what I'm doing. Follow me." Look at your neighbor and say, "Follow me." Oh, come on, that was horrible. We're more Pentecostal than that. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, "Follow me."
Follow me.
I was walking around Walmart one day and we had a shirt made and for a youth camp I was in, and the back of it said, "Follow me." And so I'm walking around Walmart one night, and it was pretty late at night, and we, you know, had went in to pick up some things that we need, and we're just walking around, and I'm following Stephanie. I'm just following Stephanie because I don't want to be in there anyway, right? And I'm walking around, and I noticed that there was a couple that were on the same aisle as we were. And then when we went to the next aisle, they were on the next aisle. About the third aisle, I realized they weren't shopping. They were just standing there. Now, we've all read the Facebook posts about people stalking you in Walmart, right? Yeah. Now everybody looks suspicious, right? Some little 83-year-old grandma's walking out of Walmart, and I'm like, she's plotting on me, right? And everybody looks suspicious. And so I kind of turn around and look at them, and they're just staring at me, smiling. I'm like, what is your problem? Right? I forget about being a pastor. Pretty much forget about being a Christian. I'm ready to fight now. I'm like, what? Right? But he's significantly bigger than I am, so I backtracked on that thought. And so I just kind of look at them, and they're just grinning. And finally they look at me and they go, where are we going? I said, what are you talking about? Well, your shirt said follow you. By third aisle, we were wondering where we were going. I said, keep following. We laughed it off. We had a good laugh. They walked off. I was like, good, they're not stalking us. But I watched us all the way to the car to make sure they weren't. Anyway, Jesus looks at these guys and he goes, follow me. Abandon everything that you've planned. Everything you thought you were born for. Everything you're gifted in. Everything you've been trained for. Abandon it. Follow me. Then he says, I'll make you. I will make you. I'll develop you. Everybody say develop. The problem with our generation is many of us are not teachable. Right? We think we know it all, therefore we can't be taught anything. It's quiet in this Holy Ghost-filled church right now. Right? We feel like we've got a hold on everything, especially when it comes to church. I'm very encouraged by how many people really could run this thing better than I can. You know what I'm saying? Folks will walk up and they'll go, well, if I was the pastor, I'll go, well, here's the keys. With that comes a whole lot of issues, right? And so what I found is when we start trying to train. Now, if you were here last Sunday night, you'll know that part of my job is to equip. And if you were here last Sunday night, you'll know what equip really means. So it's a word used to set a bone. Anybody ever had a broken bone?
Yeah,
right? Did they have to reset? Yeah, that's not a pretty sight. Unless they give you, what's that stuff called again, Stephanie?
Ketamine.
Ooh, that stuff's cool. Right? And so, you know, I found that many people aren't teachable. And what Jesus is calling, when he's calling us to go all in, he's saying, hey, come follow me and I'll make you. I will develop you. I'll train you. I'll teach you. I'll get you ready, not for your plan, but for mine. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He's talking about purpose. He said, if you'll follow me, you may think you've got a hold on what you were born for, but I'm telling you, your purpose is so much bigger than what you thought it was. Right? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You with me? I started thinking about the Great Commission because the Great Commission, if you know me, you'll hear this statement a lot. If you're here, you'll hear this statement a lot. The Great Commission is our commission. Right? It's not the commission of the church down the street or the pastor down the road. It's not the commission of even your pastor. It's our commission. We're all called to the Great Commission together. Right? It's our commission. Jesus says there's a purpose that's bigger than what you think. What you think you were born for, I've got so much more for you than that. And so he calls us to go all in, right? He's going, follow me. Go all in. Take your next step. Everybody shout next step. So when God calls us to go into, or to go all in, he's calling us to go into his purposes. So, very quickly, I just wanted to kind of walk through some next steps for you as we are celebrating today some folks taking theirs. The first step that you got to take is you got to accept the invitation to follow Jesus. And the fact of the matter is you can't take any other step until you've made that first one. That's the step that matters most, right? Now we like to get it all messed up, and when you join in church, you got to join the church, and that's the most important step. No, it's not. It's a step, but it's not the most important. Well, baptism, you ain't really saved until you get baptized. Well, you probably need to read your Bible again, because my salvation is not hinged on my being dunked in water. But it is a next step. Right? Yes. Baptism didn't save me. It just announced to the world that I am saved. Okay? And so the first step that I have to take is I have to be a follower of Jesus. Now, most of us in this room, if I were to go around and do a survey, most of us in this room would automatically say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've accepted Jesus into my heart. I've prayed the sinner's prayer. I've done whatever your flavor of doing that was growing up or whenever you did it. You'd say, I'm a follower of Jesus. If you're in here and you're not a follower of Jesus, that's the first step you got to take, because the fact of the matter is you can't take any other step until you take that first one. Jesus paid it all on the cross for you and for me. And he's calling out to us today, follow me. So if you're in here and you're not a follower of Jesus, that's the first step you got to take. The second step, it is the step of baptism, right? And the fact of the matter is we celebrated two folks that have celebrated, taken that next step in here today. Now, we had a little technical difficulties, I guess, with the mic, and that's okay, because it really isn't about us hearing anything. It really is about seeing them be baptized, because that is a public declaration. It is us announcing to the world our allegiance. One way that I like to say it is it's us putting on the jersey. Now, if you know me, I'm not a big sports person, but I know enough about sports to know that if I were, per se, going to join the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I know where your allegiance lies, right? We know how to pray for you now. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I don't watch sports, so... So let's just say I was going to join the Dallas Cowboys. Or let's just say I was going to join the OU Sooners, right? Okay, see, more allegiance there, right? Right, right. Or let's say I was going to join OSU. Yeah, okay, yeah. Anyway, so say I was going to, I'm just kidding. I really have no allegiance to either one. It doesn't matter to me. Or in my case, I was going to join the Clemson Tigers. Woo! Yeah, doesn't matter. I really don't care either way. But so let's say I was going to join some sports team, but I got out there. I went through the practices. I saw everything, and I thought, that's all cool and all, but I really don't want to offend the people on the other team, so I'm just not going to put on. I'll play for you, coach, but I'm not going to put on the jersey. We got some folks, let's say I joined, the Clemson Tigers. I got some folks that just, they're offended by the orange. So I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to put on that, because there are some folks in the audience that are going to be sitting out there. They're going to be offended by the fact that I've got on orange. So coach, I'm not going to put on the jersey. What do you think the coach is going to say? Oh, son, that's okay. We really don't care about it anyway. He's going to laugh and go, get out the locker room, right? Why? Because you're not on the team. You may claim to be on the team. You may identify with the team. You may say, hey, I really like that team. But when you don't put on the jersey, you're not a part of the team. And baptism is simply that. It's standing up before the world, and it's putting on the jersey of being a follower of Jesus. And it's telling the world, I have not only identified with this, I not only think this is a cool team, but I have chosen to live my life as a part of this team. And I want everybody to know it. Are you with me? Somebody are going, I don't know about this. This preacher, he's got some weird views. He's talking about sports. Listen, if you don't like sports, hang around. I don't talk about them much, right? Hang around, because I've got some I got some other stuff I can talk about, right? But we've got a couple of people that celebrated this morning putting on the jersey. They made a public profession of their faith. They said, hey guys, I've accepted Jesus. I've become a follower of Christ. And I want the world to know. So I'm going to ask if Amanda and Glenn would just come and stand right here. Because we're just going to... Listen, here's the thing, man. Baptism didn't save them. Right? Baptism didn't save them. Right? But it was an essential next step in their faith. It didn't save them, but it was an indicator that they are moving forward in their faith. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all got quiet on me all of a sudden. Right? This is basic baptism, right? Baptism 101. Right? They said, hey guys, you know what? We were saved here. We were saved at another time. We were saved, but we're going to take that next step or that first step. And we're going to show the world that we belong to Jesus. So I'm just going to say, hey, you can go ahead and give them a hand clap. We're going to present you guys. I just want to give you a very simple certificate, and it's just to honor this day, because I do believe that this day is special. I believe that it is, because it's the day that you told everybody, you announced to the world. Now, I don't think you're shy about your faith, but no. But you made a decision today to follow in the steps of Jesus and to say, you know what, after I've accepted Jesus, the first thing I'm going to do, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be baptized so that the world will know I put on the jersey and I'm part of the team. Right? And so would you guys turn around, and I'm going to ask everybody, listen, I believe that baptism should be a party. It shouldn't be a somber religious experience, but it should be something where we jump and hoop and holler and clap and celebrate. So would you guys just have a 30-second party for these two who made their next step going all in for Jesus? Listen, guys, we love you and we celebrate you today. Listen, I believe God's got some great things that's in store for you. I really do. So keep making those steps. Don't stop, because this is just the next one. There's a next one after that and another one after that. And you'll constantly find more and more steps to take to go all in. But I encourage you today, keep going all in. Amen. Come on, give them another hand as they head back to their seat. Thank you, guys. But see, we're not here just to celebrate baptism. See, this is Celebrate Sunday, right? Right? This is Celebrate Sunday. You can be seated now. That's all right. We got a couple of minutes. But we're also, another way that we go all in, another way that we take a next step in this is, hey, this is okay. Hey, that's all right. We're going to celebrate this all day. Okay? But another way that we go all in is we connect to a local body. We connect to a local church. And we do that through membership. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say again, you don't have to be a church member to be saved. I don't believe that whatsoever. I don't think it's biblical. But I will tell you this, it is an indicator. Another indicator of you going all in. It says, hey guys, you know what? I've joined the team as a whole. Listen, I've put on the jersey. I've been baptized. But you know what? I'm going to take another step and I'm going to connect to a local body. Because I believe, let me read a quick verse of scripture to you. I think I quoted it the other night. But it's in 2 Corinthians. Let's see if I can find it. This is off the cuff right here. This is free. Free right here. Okay? Well, I can't find it. How about that? I can quote it to you, though. It says, but Christ has set each one in the body just as he chooses. Okay? Okay, everybody say set. Oh, come on. Say it like Pentecostals. Set. He set you. That means it's past tense. He's already created the seat for you to sit in. Right? He's created a place for you in a body. Right? There is a chair. There is a seat. And this morning we are going to celebrate with four individuals who say, man, we believe wholeheartedly that the seat that he's created for me is right here at Harvest. So I'm going to ask if our membership candidates would go ahead and make your way to the front.